Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How you feeling? How you doing? I'm so thankful for what Brody said this morning, because I know that as we gather together any week, but some weeks more than others, some people are feeling really good, and really happy, really thankful. Other people are just kind of so-so, mediocre, and some are really sad and scared, upset, angry. And when we come together, I know that there are some times where you don't even feel like being here, and maybe that's how you were feeling this morning. Maybe you almost didn't come, and you were feeling all the things that you've been dealing with this week, and I want you to know, regardless of how you're feeling this morning, whether you are feeling really good, or you're feeling really bad, or anywhere in between, I think you made the right choice to be here. Not because we always feel the same way, not because we always think the same way, not because we're all experiencing the same things, but because you're loved. You're loved here. And I want you to know that. And I want you to know that we can bring our whole selves here, and we can be real with each other, with whatever it is that we're going through and whatever it is that we're experiencing. And we can love each other, and we are trying to be that kind of a church, kind of church that we can rejoice with those who rejoice, and we can weep with those who weep. So thank you for being here. We love you. I love you, and I'm so appreciative of who you are and your presence here this morning. In fact, that's what we're talking about in this series right now. We're talking about being grateful, being thankful, whether we feel thankful or not. Sometimes we feel thankful, we feel grateful, and other times we don't feel grateful or feel thankful, but the gospel calls us, scripture calls us to be thankful, to be grateful, whether we feel it or not. And we're talking about some of the benefits to living a grateful life, even when we don't feel grateful. A study from 2017 said this: simply expressing gratitude may have lasting effects on the brain. While not conclusive, the study finding suggests that practicing gratitude may help train the brain to be more sensitive to the experience of gratitude down the line in the future. And this could contribute to improved mental health over time. It's fascinating, isn't it? That when we practice gratitude, when we think of gratitude and thanksgiving, not just as a feeling that we experience, we do experience that feeling of gratitude, but when we think of it, when we perceive it as a discipline, as something that we choose to do, a commitment that we choose to have, whether we feel it or not, it has an effect, maybe not on our situation. It may not change our situation. Being grateful, being thankful may not change the situation that we're in, the circumstance that we're going through, but it might change how we perceive that situation. It might change how we see that situation by disciplining ourselves to be thankful. I want you to think about a passage, words from Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. You may have heard these words before, but I want us to think about them in this context. Now, this is maybe a decade before he writes the book of Philippians that we're studying right now. But here's what he says to the church at Thessalonica. He says, rejoice, and here's the hard word, always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So let me ask you, church, when you're going through something hard and difficult and challenging, something that makes you angry and upset and afraid, something that is genuinely bad, when you're going through something like that, what should you do? Should you cry out to God and say, God, this hurts. I don't like this. Please change this circumstance. Or should you say, thank you, God? Which of those should you do? And the answer is yes. Both, right? It's not an either or. It's a both and. We do both. We both cry out to God. We lament and we say, this is genuinely bad and this stinks and I don't want to go through this. And God, please change this circumstance and bring about something new. And please do something here. Deliver me, save me, help me. And we find a way to discipline ourselves towards gratitude and thanksgiving and know and believe that God, even in this circumstance, whatever that circumstance may be for you, whatever it is that you're going through, believing that God can and God does and God will and God is doing something good. And thanking God for whatever it is that He is doing that is good, even in a genuinely bad situation. And again, I know how sometimes it can be upsetting. It can seem offensive for somebody to say, give thanks in all circumstances, rejoice always. Paul, don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you know what my situation is? And I can almost guarantee myself and you and anyone else who asked that question that Paul's circumstance is probably worse. The things through which Paul went and he still disciplined himself towards gratitude takes my breath away sometimes. We're thinking about the book of Philippians. If you have your Bible, turn over to Philippians chapter 1. And while he is writing this letter, he is writing it from prison. And I believe it's because he has spent month after month, year after year, training himself, disciplining himself to give thanks in all circumstances, rejoice always, that he's able to say things like this. Verse 12, he says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. My imprisonment, being persecuted, suffering injustice, has served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Now, is Paul saying my imprisonment is good? I mean, it's a good thing that these people are persecuting me. Is that what he's saying? No. Not saying that what they're doing is good. It's not good. It's evil. It's wicked. It's bad. It's unjust. It is not good. But Paul can see how in spite of the bad that is being done to him, God is using it for good. It is serving to advance the gospel. Verse 14, and most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. See, Paul prioritizes the gospel. We talked about this last week, didn't we? That Paul doesn't prioritize his own comfort, his own safety, his own agenda. He prioritizes the agenda of God. He prioritizes the gospel. And so it's much more easy in that kind of situation to be thankful because in spite of the fact that this hurts and this is painful, and I'm sure Paul never put it on his bucket list to go through these kinds of circumstances, but he's willing to because what's more important is the will of God being accomplished, the gospel being spread, Christians becoming more confident to talk about the Lord because of his imprisonment. See, Paul is able to see in that circumstance what God is doing. He looks around and he can see his pain. He can see his suffering. He can see what he's going through, but he can also see, oh, brother so-and-so over there, he was scared to talk about Jesus before. He was scared to talk about Jesus because he knew that he might get arrested. He knew that he might suffer. He knew that his family might suffer. He knew that he might go through all kinds of bad things if he talked about Jesus. But now that I'm in prison and he can see me, now he's more bold to talk about Jesus. And for that, I'm thankful. See, Paul's able to see what God is doing in those circumstances, I believe, at least in part, because he has disciplined himself to be grateful. He's disciplined himself to be thankful. And I believe that over time, we can start to see the good that God is doing in circumstances when we discipline ourselves to give thanks in all circumstances, to rejoice always. But sometimes we can't. Sometimes we can't see any good that could possibly come out of this situation. All we see is the bad. You've been there? Maybe you are there right now. And it's hard to perceive any good coming out of whatever situation you find yourself in. Here's some good news. God's ability to do good is not limited by our ability to perceive it. God's ability to do good is not limited by our ability or inability to see it, to perceive it. God is still able to do good even if you don't see the good he's doing. I want to see it. I want to train myself to see it. But sometimes I don't see it. I don't perceive it. All I see is the bad. All I see is the pain. All I see is the sorrow. All I see is the grief. All I see is bad on bad on bad. But I believe, I trust, I have faith that God is doing something good, that God can do something good, that God will do something good, whether I can perceive it or not. And so when we train ourselves, discipline ourselves, I will be grateful for the good that God is doing, whether I can perceive it or not, then over time, I believe we become better at perceiving the good that God is doing. But God is doing good whether you can see it or not. He's doing good whether you can perceive it or not. Look at verse 15. He says, some people are talking about Christ, preaching Christ, from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. There were some people that were talking about Jesus just because they knew that talking about Jesus was going to get Paul in even more trouble. They wanted to stir up trouble against Paul. Now, how would you feel in a situation like that? If you knew that some people were just out to get you, maybe you are in a situation like that. They're talking about you. Maybe they're even talking about your faith, who you are and what you believe, just because by talking about you like that, they're hoping to stir up trouble against you. How would you feel in a situation like that? Well, Paul says, verse 18, what then? What then? There's some people that do it because they love me, and other people that are talking about me just to stir up trouble against me. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I, what, church? Rejoice. Yes, and I will, what, church? Rejoice. It is a choice he's making. It's a discipline he has. He is exercising joy. He is disciplining himself to rejoice, whether it feels like that or not. When I read this, my mind goes back to Genesis chapter 50. If you remember the story about Joseph, Joseph had some pretty wicked brothers. His brothers trafficked him. That's exactly what they did. They trafficked him. They sold him into slavery. They lied to their dad and said that he was dead, or they at least let him believe that Joseph was dead. They gave him the coat covered with blood, and they sold Joseph into slavery. Eventually, Joseph ends up in prison, and then, by the grace of God, he ends up being second in command in Egypt. And when the brothers finally come and are reunited with Joseph, they're terrified that Joseph is going to punish them. He's going to get even with them for the horrible thing that they did. And it was horrible. It was horrible. It was wicked. Can't think of a worse thing to do to anybody than to sell them as a slave. And Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Joseph, over time at least, was able to see that God was able to redeem this situation and bring about good even from something that was truly wicked and evil and bad, that God was doing something good. And again, God's ability to do good is not limited by our ability to perceive it. So whether Joseph could see it or not, and eventually he could see it, but whether or not he could see it, God was still doing it. God was still doing good whether anybody could see it or not. And here, what these people are doing against Paul is truly bad. It's truly bad. It is truly evil. And we have to be able to say that, don't we? When things are bad, when people do wicked, evil things, when they hurt people, when they hate people, when they do things that cause pain to people, when people are unjust, we have to be able to say it. We're not talking about whitewashing things or making things seem like they're good when they're really bad. That's not what Paul's doing. But Paul is saying, I trust my God that even when people are out to get me, God is still doing something good. What they mean for evil, God means for good. See, because here's the thing. No matter what people do, and I believe they do it by their own free will, people have the free will to do good or do evil. And when people do evil by their own free will, God already knew what they were going to do, right? God already knew it. The wickedness and evil of people never, never takes God by surprise. That's good news, isn't it, church? People are never going to take God by surprise. God already knows what people are going to choose to do. And God has already made preparation. God is never taken by surprise. We are sometimes. We're taken by surprise when we get a phone call that we weren't expecting. When someone says something we weren't expecting, when someone does something we weren't expecting, and it's okay to be saddened by that, to be even angered by that, to be disappointed by that, to be shocked by that. But God isn't shocked. He's not surprised. And this grateful living, this thanks living, is about a commitment to believing and trusting that God is always doing good. And is never taken by surprise. And is always, always, always making sure that his will comes to pass. Verse 19, Paul says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." See, some of the good, Paul can see. Like, God, I see you. I see you, God. I know what you're doing. I know what you're up to. I know that you're using this horrible situation for good. I see it. Way to go, God. That's fantastic. That's awesome. I can see what you're doing. And other good that God is doing, Paul doesn't see it yet. Some of it hasn't even happened yet, but he knows it will. He trusts that it will. He knows, I'm not going to be ashamed. There's never going to come a circumstance or situation where I'm going to say, oops, I guess that whole following Jesus thing was a bad idea. He's never going to say that. He doesn't know exactly what's going to happen next. He doesn't know exactly how the story is going to play out, but he knows we win. God wins. It doesn't mean that everything that happens is wonderful and enjoyable and comfortable and safe and lovely and brings a warm, fuzzy feeling into his heart, but he trusts. I know no matter what happens, whether I live or I die, whether I'm free or I'm in prison, I know that I will not be ashamed. I know that God is doing good. I know that God will rescue me. I know that God will win no matter what happens next through the prayers of the church and the help of the Holy Spirit. Everything that is happening, God and Jesus will be glorified. Look at verse 21. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is" what, church? "Gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I can't tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. In other words, I can't lose. I can't lose. I want to have that perspective, don't you? I want to have the perspective that says, you know what, there are things I prefer. There are situations I prefer. But I am so confident about what God is doing, even the good that God is doing that I can't see yet or perceive yet, but I'm so confident that God is doing something good that I can't lose. And I know I can't lose, and God's people can't lose, and so no matter what happens, I'm going to say thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the good that I can see, and thank you, God, for the good that I can't see. Because whatever happens, Jesus will be glorified. Look at verse 25. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Verse 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit and one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. Whether I come to you or I don't, whether I'm there in person or I'm not, do what you're supposed to do. My family, we say the same thing every night before we go to bed. One of the things we say is, do what's right, no matter what. No matter what is an acknowledgement that we don't know what the future holds. And our circumstances and situations, sometimes they change minute by minute, moment by moment. But we have to be, as God's people, we have to be committed to doing what is right, to living a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, no matter what. And part of what that means, to live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, is to rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what he said? That's part of what it means to live a life that's worthy of the gospel, regardless of what happens. Gratitude and thanksgiving and joy are hallmarks of a life that is marked out by the gospel. Look at verse 29. He says, for it has been, this is a tough word, church, for it has been granted to you. Another way you could translate that is, it has been gifted to you, that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict that you saw that I had and now hear that I still have. He says, it has been granted to you, it has been gifted to you that you should believe. And we say amen to that. I mean, it's a gift that we should believe. He says, it's also a gift to you that you should suffer. Suffer for the sake of Christ. Do we think of it that way? Do we perceive it that way? Again, Paul is not only saying, I'm thankful for my situation and I consider my situation a gift, but he's encouraging them, you should have the same attitude. You saw that I've gone through all of these things and I'm going through these things now and you're now engaged in the same conflict. Now you have to stand up for Jesus no matter what it costs you. And you should consider it a gift from God, that you should suffer for his sake. You should have this same attitude. This is the commitment to gratitude. Not gratitude simply as a feeling. Again, everybody experiences that. Whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, everyone experiences a feeling of gratitude. But those of us who follow a crucified king, a martyred Messiah, a suffering servant and Savior, we commit ourselves to living lives of gratitude, whether we feel grateful or not. Because we need to be grateful for the good that God is doing even before you see it. Be grateful for the good that God is doing even before you see it. Now that implies that eventually, hopefully, if we train ourselves to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we will see it. I think we will see it. Whether in this life or the next, we will see the good that God is doing. But He's doing good right now, whether you see it or not. A life of gratitude, a discipline of gratitude, is about choosing and being committed, being loyal to being thankful, whether we feel that way or not, because we believe by faith that God is doing good. See, gratitude is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. We're saying, God, I'm thankful. I don't feel thankful. I don't see anything to be thankful for, but I am thankful because I know you're doing good. It's an act of faith that also strengthens our faith. We become more and more people of faith as we exercise the discipline of gratitude because we are saying, I trust you, that even when it hurts, and even when it's scary, and even when it's disappointing, and even when it's upsetting, I trust that you are doing good, even if I can't see it yet. And so here's the challenge this week. Last week I gave you some, we didn't call it homework, we called it a challenge, right? So this week's gratitude challenge is this. Each day, find something about which you can pray this. God, at this moment, I can't see anything good about this situation. Promise you, whether you want to experience that or not, something will happen this week that you can say that about. God, at this moment, I can't see anything good about this situation, but I praise you by faith, knowing that your ability to do good is not limited by my ability to perceive it. That's an act of faith. It's an act of faith to say, I praise you, and I rejoice, and I give thanks. In this situation, even though I don't see any good, I know that you are doing good because you are good and you are always doing good. You see, we are people, again, who follow a crucified king, a martyred Messiah, a suffering Savior, and we believe that God accomplishes good through the worst of situations. What the people who crucified Jesus did was truly wicked. They murdered the Son of God. And church, if you had been there, if I had been there, there's a good chance that either we would have been saying with them, crucify him, or we would have been like one of his disciples, afraid and running away. But in spite of the fact that no one could see what God was doing, God was doing the greatest good ever. And he has not stopped doing good, even in situations that are hard and painful. Again, that doesn't mean that we don't pray for a change in circumstance. It doesn't mean that we don't do everything within our power to move into a better circumstance. But it does mean that regardless of what happens, we are going to trust that God has done good, God is doing good, and God will always do good. And so because of that, we give thanks. And maybe there's somebody here this morning, and you're ready to surrender your life to the one who is always doing good. To die to yourself, to trust him with your body, your soul, your past, your present, and your future. Allow him to wash your sins away and give you the gift of the Holy Spirit and walk with you from this day forward. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, we want to help you to do that. Or maybe you've already made that commitment and you need to recommit your life to Jesus. Or again, church, we acknowledge that we're all going through different things right now. And we're here for each other. And so if we can pray for you or encourage you, just surround you with love and care. Our shepherds would love to meet with you in the prayer room after service, or you can come forward right now. Together we stand and sing this song.